I think we gathered together here tonight lechvod the Ramban, or lechvod Eretz Yisrael, and those two go together, because when I think of one figure in Jewish history that represents, that pulsates Eretz Yisrael, it's the Ramban, more than anyone else. When I think of Eretz Yisrael and the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, there are a whole bunch of Rishonim and Acharonim that come to mind, some pro and some con. You know, you have the Rambam, who omits the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael in the Taryag. You have the Megillas Esther, one of the super commentaries on the Rambam, who defends the Rambam, and he says that the reason why the Rambam left it out of the Taryag is because there is no mitzvah today in our time to live in Eretz Yisrael. You have Moshe Feinstein, who says that, well, it's not an obligation, but it's a good thing, you know, if you want to live in Eretz Yisrael. And then you'll have a bunch of Rishonim, Achronim, who'll say that the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael today in our time is only Derabbanan and it's not Doraisa. That's on one side of the agenda. On the other side, you have the Shita of the Ramban. And the one who really waves the banner of the Ramban is the Avnei Nezer, the Sukkachover Rebbe. And he gives us deep insights into the Shitas Ramban. And he explains why the Ramban critiques the Rambam for having omitted the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael in the counting of the Taryag. And all the arguments of the Megillas Esther to explain why the Rambam left out the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, they come under the very heavy fire of the Avnei Nezer. So those are some of the names that we want to mention in studying this. I do want to say up front that the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is very close to my heart for many reasons, one of which, not the least of which, is the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah says the following. Yeshayahu HaNavi says about Tzion, about Eretz Yisrael, Tzion Doresh Ein Lo. He gives Musar, he castigates the Jewish people because people are not Doresh Tzion. And the Gemara uses that statement of the Navi as a halach l'maisa. It's not just a, you know, a nevuah prophecy. But the Gemara says, Tzion Doresh Ein Lo Michlal, from this we derive Dibari Drisha, that there's a separate mitzvah to be Doresh Tzion. And the Gemara says, based on this mitzvah being Doresh Tzion, we have to use every possible method of remembering and thinking about Tzion. So, for example, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is going to institute taking the lulav all 7 days of Sukkot, even though the Torah only requires Lokat HaMiyom HaRishon. And the reason for this is because we have to be Doresh Tzion. Because at the time of Eretz Yisrael and Tzion the Migdash, the mitzvah was Usmachtim Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yomim, to take the lulav in Migdash 7 days. A full 7 days. Some would like to claim that the reason why we like Hanukkah candles is because of Zeichel Migdash. Not just Zeichel Ness, but to be Doresh Tzion. Do you want to pass this around so people can take...
Well, what's the meaning of the word Doresh?
Doresh means to use every possible opportunity to remember Tzion. Not to forget Yerushalayim, not to forget Tzion. What does a chassan do before he goes down the aisle at his wedding? They put afer, they put ashes on his head. Imesh kachech Yerushalayim tishkach yimini. Even at the great moment of a person getting married, he has to remember Tzion. He has to remember Yerushalayim. I don't know if you're familiar with the Likutei Torah. Does anybody know who wrote the Likutei Torah? Likutei Torah was authored by the same person who wrote the Rav Shulchan Aruch. Who wrote the Rav Shulchan Aruch? The Baal HaTanya. See, people know him for his Sefer HaTanya. A few people know him because he authored the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. And very few people know that he wrote the Likutei Torah. So in his great work, Likutei Torah, he asks the question, why is Eretz Yisrael, why is Yerushalayim, why is the Beis HaMikdash called Tzion? And he says that the Lashon of Tzion comes from the word Tziyun. Tziyun is a marker. For example, if you want to make sure that the Kohen doesn't go into Chas Shom, into Beis HaKvaris, into a cemetery, you put up what's called a Tziyun. A Tziyun is a marker that says, here you're not supposed to go. And a marker really indicates something about the nature or the identity of a place or a person. Says the Baal HaTanya, the identity, the essence of the Jewish nation is Tzion. Our connection to Tzion reflects our identity as a people. And we have to be Doresh Tzion. So tonight, we're going to try to be Doresh Tzion. And we're going to start with the Ramban. The Ramban in two places points out the significance and the centrality of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. You'll see on the top of your page one, the Ramban in Parashas Masai, on the Pasuk V'orashtem es ha'aretz v'yishavtem bo, says the Ramban, V'orashtem es ha'aretz v'yishavtem bo, al daiti, according to my opinion, zu mitzvahs esehi. Not the way Rashi interpreted the Pasuk, it's a promise, it's avtocha for the future, that we will inherit the land and live therein, but rather it's a command. Yitzave osam, it's a tzivui to Bnei Yisrael, sheyeshvu ba'aretz, v'yarshu oso, they will inherit the land, they'll conquer the land, they'll live in the land, ki hu nisan alehem, because he gave it to them. V'lo yimasu b'nachas Hashem, they should not in any way reject this great gift, the inheritance of God. V'ilu yala al daitom lo leches v'lichbosh eretz shinar o eretz ashur v'zulasan, and if they'll entertain the idea, let's conquer a different area, Assyria, Mesopotamian areas, or any other country on the face of the earth. It's amazing that the Ramban actually foretold the future, because there was one great leader of the Zionist movement who wanted to offer a suggestion that we settle a different country. Uganda. That was Herzl. Says the Ramban, Yavru al mitzvah Hashem. That's a violation of the command of Almighty God. Umashif Ligu Rabosenu. Our rabbis have said such unbelievable things, you know, very dramatic about Eretz Yisrael. B'mitzvah Sayeshiva Beretz Yisrael. And you'll see that the Gemara is going to tell us that mitzvahs yeshivas etzel shkula keneged kol mitzvahs. You can put 612 mitzvahs on one side of the equation, and yeshiv etzel on the other, and it'll outweigh the whole bunch. And not only that, it's better to live in Eretz Yisrael in a city that's mostly inhabited by goyim than to live in Chutz Laretz in a city that's mostly inhabited by Jews. Says the Ramban, v'yisro latzeis mimena, and we're enjoined to leave Eretz Yisrael. And not only that, says the Ramban, v'yadunu, they will judge kimoredes an ish ashena rotsa lalos and bailel Eretz Yisrael v'cheno ish. This is a sugya mesecht ksuvis, as you'll see in the third source on your page daf kuf yud amid beis. The Mishnah says hakol mailel Eretz Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, hu omer lalos, he wants to go up. The he omer shalo lalos, kofen oso lalos, v'yim lav, if she refuses, then teitze below ksuma. He omer lalos, v'hu omer shalo lalos, kofen oso lalos, v'yim lav, yotzi v'yiten ksuma. Says the Ramban, where is the mitzvah that allows one spouse to force, to coerce the other one within the context of marriage to live in Eretz Yisrael? Bekan nitztavinu b'mitzvah zu, right here in Parshas Masai. Ki akosav azeh hi mitzvah saseh. V'yachzir ha-mitzvah zu b'mekomos rabim. The Ramban claims that the Torah repeats this mitzvah in many different parshios, time after time. And it's counted as a mitzvah saseh. But who omits the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael in the Taryag? The Rambam. The Ramban writes hasagos on the Ramban. They're called mitzvah saseh shachan osan harav. And if you'll take a look, on the fourth mitzvah that the Ramban has, which he claims the Rambam omitted, which is on the bottom of your page one. Mitzvah reveals shenitz tavinu lareshes haaretz, that we have to conquer the land. Asher nosan akel yisparach yisale lavoseinu lavram yitzchaku yaakov v'lo na'azva v'yadzu laseinu min ha'umos. We're not allowed to leave the land on the foreign dominion. But let me ask you a question, Rabosai. According to the Ramban, what happens if I conquer the land of Eretz Yisrael? The Jewish people conquer the land, but they leave some part of Eretz Yisrael unsettled. So we've got a state of Israel, you know, we've got political sovereignty over the land, but part of the land is not settled. Have we fulfilled the mitzvah? Look at the next two words in the Ramban. Not only are we enjoined from leaving the land under foreign control, but we're not allowed to leave the land. What are the next two words of the Ramban? Olishmava. What's the shmava? Desolation, exactly. Unsettled. You want to pass things around.
So what about the people stopping the settlements now? Is that a little bit of...
That is a violation, according to the Ramban, of a mitzvah saseh doraisa of Yeshavtem Ba. Says the Ramban, why did the Torah go into great detail about the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael? North, south, east, west? How many psukim, how much ink was spilled by the Torah to delineate exactly the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael? Says the Ramban, and I underlined it in the fourth line, Upiret oso lahem b'mitzvazu kula b'gvuleha u'meitzareha. We're learning Bava Basra, so we know what the word Meitzar means, right? Up on the boundary. Why? Shelo yaniach mimena makom. We're not allowed to leave any part of Eretz Yisrael unsettled. It means, according to the Ramban, we have to raise a whole new chakira, a whole new definition about the mitzvah of settling in Eretz Yisrael. Because I'll ask you the following question. Supposing the entire nation of Israel would converge on Eretz Yisrael, but they would all live in the north, near my son in Carmiel. Would that mitzvah of Yishuv Etzel be fulfilled? What do you mean, no? Every single Jew is living in Eretz Yisrael. What's deficient? What's lacking over here? Can you say it in brisket? You know, I like a good brisket chakira. You know, everybody declares the following chakira about Eretz Yisrael. Is Eretz Yisrael a mitzvah unto itself? It's an end? Or is it a means to an end? Anybody know what that's called in the Lubdish jargon, a means to an end? Like, for example, I build a sukkah in order to sit in a sukkah. What's that called? Nobody knows? It's a hechsher mitzvah. So everybody wonders, is Eretz Yisrael a mitzvah or it's only a hechsher mitzvah? It's a famous world-class chakira. If it's a hechsher mitzvah, what is it a prologue for? What? No, I'm asking, if it's a prologue, what is the, you know, you write an introduction to a book, what's the book itself?
Yishuv everywhere.
No, I'm asking, so if you don't hear what I'm saying. If I define Yishuv Eretz Yisrael as a Heksha mitzvah, what's the Gufa Shal mitzvah?
To live everywhere.
No, but that, to live everywhere is Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. But now I'm saying that Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is only a prologue. It's a means to an end.
The other 612 mitzvahs.
Well, I don't know about all 612. I mean, yeah, which mitzvahs? What are those called, Rabosa? Mitzvahs Atulias Baretz. We take out a Mishnah Vesech the Kiddushin, and the Mishnah says they call mitzvah Atulias Bekarka. Any, we would call it in English, any agricultural mitzvah. is Einan Oheges El Eretz Yisrael. Does anybody know the one exception to that rule? What? Arlo, exactly. Beautiful. Excellent. That's a lambda for you. But by the way, Arlo, it's a very interesting thing. You open up Vayikra, you test, and the Torah says, Kisavo El Eretz. I mean, it sounds like Arlo is dependent upon Eretz Yisrael. How do we know that Arlo applies even in Chutz Laretz? That if I work for years and years to plant a vineyard, I can't eat the grapes. Did you ever have such an experience where you planted something and you really want to eat the fruits very badly, but you can't do it because of Arla? You never had that experience. I can't recommend trying it, because grapes, I don't know if you... We grow grapes in our backyard, but Baruch Hashem, they're not Arla. We have them for many years. But they are absolutely alluring. They're tempting. They're beautiful. They're tasty. Again, we have to make sure the bugs don't get to it first. So we call a ganan, and he puts bags around the thing, and so it keeps away the bugs. We have almost all the Shivas Aminim in our backyard. We have a pomegranate tree. We supply pomegranates for the entire building, 16 shuls. That's 18 families. So everybody has a nice fresh pomegranate for Rosh Hashanah. That's the season for pomegranates, right before Rosh Hashanah. July, August, September, those. My wife always gets angry at me because when I climb up to get the high pomegranates, I put my life into danger. So what would be a definition of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, not as a mitzvah per se, but as a means to an end, as a hechsher mitzvah? And what's the ultimate goal then? Mitzvah Tzlius Baretz. Who maintains this position? Did you ever hear of Reb Chaim Cohen? This is Reb Chaim Cohen. Is he on? I don't know if there's an art school book about Reb Chaim Cohen. He's one of the Balei Tosfos. Although the Avnei Nezer says that they plagiarized him, it's very complicated. But if you take a look at Tosfos and Ksuvos, it should be the fifth source on your page. Is Tosfos says that Eino Noeg Bizman Hazeh, this whole mitzvah that I can force my wife to live in Eretz Yisrael, and she forced me, that's more likely, is that doesn't apply. Yeah, the women love Eretz Yisrael. It says it all over. Chazal, Benoslachot, Noshim Mechavos is Eretz Yisrael. I have a whole shmooze about that. But for that, we'll have to make another choice. So, the Reb Chaim Cohen in Tosfos is quoting it as saying that this whole halacha that one spouse can force the other no longer applies in our time. Why? Achshav ein mitzvah lodur b'Eretz Yisrael, says Reb Chaim Cohen. Kiyesh kama mitzvos atluyus b'aretz, v'kama onshim, if you don't fulfill those mitzvahs, v'ein on yichon lizor b'hem, v'lamod aleim. What do you see from Chaim Cohen? Since we cannot fulfill the mitzvahs at Tluyus Baretz, therefore there's no mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. How does he understand the mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? A hechsher mitzvah. And the Avnei Nezer, the Sukkot Shavu Rebbe, claims that this is an incorrect transmission, of Reb Chaim Cohen. A Talmud Torah wrote this Tosfos. I don't want to get into issues here because we can really get into some heavy issues about scholarship here. If you know the Ramban at the beginning of Masechta Kiddushin, you'll know what I'm talking about. There's some very heavy issues here. I don't want to get into them now. The Ramban holds that the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is an end unto itself. But that's not my chakira for you tonight, Rabosai. I have a different chakira. In Brisk, we talk about two types of mitzvahs. Chovas Gavra and Chovas Chefta. Chovas Gavra is a personal obligation that I have to implement the Maisa Mitzvah. Chovas Chefta means that the object needs a tikkun, needs to be fixed up. Who can think of a classical case of a chovas? That would be what? A chovas chefta or a chovas gavra? No, that would be a chovas gavra. Because I have to take the lulav. But what would be a chovas chefta? Challah, perhaps a chovas chefta. But look at the door over here and tell me what's on the door. A mezuzah, that's a classical case of a chovas chefta. The bias has to be equipped with a mezuzah. Or for example, makeh. Makeh means I don't have to go and knock the nails into this fence around my roof. The roof has to be equipped with a fence. That's a chovas cheft. There's one daya in the Gemara Menachos that tzitzis is a chovas cheft. That means if I have a tablecloth with four corners on it, even though I don't wear that tablecloth, that's called talis chovas cheft. Okay, we don't pasken like that. It's very foreign to us. But many mitzvahs in the Torah can be classified as a chovas chefta. Truma, meiser, you know. Would anybody in their right mind think that Eretz Yisrael is a chovas chefta? Well, first of all, hold on, Rabbi Gerson. What's the chefta here? And what's the answer? What is the chefta? The land itself. The land itself needs Klal Yisrael. And if I come back to my original question, if all of Klal Yisrael, according to the Ramban, would converge on one parcel of land in Eretz Yisrael, would the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael be fulfilled? It depends. Ariel say it like Rapanis would say it, yeah? The Chovas Gavra. Can you finish it up? The Chovas Gavra.
It's a Chovas Gavra, so then it would be...
It would be fulfilled from the perspective of Chovas Gavra. Every Gavra settled in Eretz Yisrael. But from the perspective of what?
There's a Chovas Cheftis, and then the whole land needs
to be settled. The whole land needs to be settled. And that's what the Ramban is telling us. It's not enough that you, Reuven, and you, Shimon, and you, Levi, etc., etc., fulfilled your obligation to live in Eretz Yisrael. We need what? That the land be settled. You cannot let the land lie fallow, meaning lie there in desolation without people, without the Jews settling the land. And therefore, says the Ramban, that it would not be sufficient, even if you kick out all the goyim and you take political control over the land of Israel, you have not clinched the mitzvah yet, says the Ramban, until every part of the land is settled, because it's not just a chovas gavra, there's also a chovas chefta.
You would take a mezuzah and you wouldn't put it on the doorpost and you put it on the table, would it have inherent kedusha to it? Is this thing still is there something to it though? Is it...
What do you mean, like a mitzvah that like a mezuzah can be taken off the door? And it might have. It's written on cloth, so I mean it has some kedusha to it, if that's what you're asking. But I'm saying the mitzvah is to see to it that the bias is equipped with a mezuzah.
So what would happen if everyone moved there to Israel? Then everyone moved out of there to Israel. Now is the land now?
I don't think that would be enough. I think it's an ongoing mitzvah. Now you're raising a different hakira. Can we achieve this mitzvah one moment and that's it? Or is it an ongoing mitzvah? What would you say about that?
I don't have an
opinion. No, but what's your first name?
Levi's
asking, what happens if all of Klal Yisrael converges on Eretz Yisrael and then they pack out? That's not the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is an ongoing mitzvah. The Ramban is going to point out, take a look at the last four lines in the Ramban. The Ramban raises the following question. At one point in history, as you all know, the people of Israel settled there at Israel. Am I right? And then what happened? We went to Golos. So why don't we say the following? Well, there was one point in history, and by the way, this is going to be the Megillas Esther's approach, as to why the Rambam omitted the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael from the Minyan Taryag, is because, according to the Megillas Esther's understanding of the Rambam, you cannot count in the Taryag a mitzvah unless it's no Heges L'Doros. And the mitzvah, the command to live in Eretz Yisrael, to conquer the land, to live therein, was given to one generation. Or maybe two generations. The generation of Yoshua, the generation of David HaMelech. Once we went into Golos, the mitzvah's gone. And to prove his point, he quotes a Gemara at the end of Ksubis, which I think you have here on the top of page 2. Gimel Shvuas Alolu. You remember Gimel Shvuas? One of the Shvuas is Lo Yalu Alachoma. The Jewish people were took an oath that they won't conquer Eretz Yisrael by force. Says the Megillas Esther, how can you take a mitzvah of conquering and settling Eretz Yisrael and uproot that mitzvah with a shvuah? And we have a principle, Einish Bon, Levatalas and Mitzvah. Mushpa V'yomim Yar Sinai. But the Ramban, if you take a look back on the bottom of page 1, he mitzvahs ase lidoros. What does it mean, lidoros? Mischayev kol yochid mimena afilu bismana golos. And he quotes a Sifri that tells the story of Tanoim that left to Chutz Laaretz, and when they saw Eretz Yisrael, zokfu eseinem v'zolgu dimoseim v'karu bigdeim v'karu amikra zev v'irashta v'yashavtebo. Eretz Yisrael shkula keneged kol mitzvos. It means that even after Golus, the mitzvah continues to be obligatory for all generations. There's nothing more explicit than this Ramban. Is Mimela says, Ramban, why did the Rambam leave it out? Why did he omit this mitzvah? And the Ramban in his own lifetime, he wasn't just Yofeh Doresh, he was Yofeh Mekayim. Against all difficulties and challenges, he settled in Eretz Yisrael. The famous Drashas Ramban for Rosh Hashanah was delivered in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, in the Shul in Akko. Now, I'm not saying that according to Ramban, you have to put your life into danger. I don't know if you know the story of Rabbi Yudal Levi, the Kuzari. He actually came to Eretz Yisrael and he was murdered by an Arab, according to tradition. I don't know if we have any... We don't have CNN in those days, so we can't be absolutely sure about it. I'm not sure that...
They wouldn't have posted it.
Right, they wouldn't post it. It's true. Anything that's... Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's a good one. So, let's just summarize the Ramban. Point number one, according to Ramban, there's a mitzvah asay to settle in Eretz Yisrael. Point number two, it's not just a chofes gavra on each individual, but it's also a chofes chefta. Eretz Yisrael has to be settled, and therefore it's not enough to conquer the land, and even if every Jew would settle therein, every parcel of land in Eretz Yisrael must be settled. Can't leave it neither to the dominion of other nations, nor to Shvama. Point number three, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is an independent mitzvah. It's not a Heksha mitzvah. It applies in every generation, and therefore it has to be incorporated into Taryat. Vishmegilas Esther says, but what about the Gemara in Ksuvis on the top of page 2 that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashpia B'nai Yisrael, that they shouldn't be Ola Alachoma, they shouldn't conquer the land of Israel against the will of the Goyim? Does that prove that it's not a mitzvah no heges lidoros? Does it mean that absolutely under all circumstances we are enjoined from living in Eretz Yisrael? What would happen if during a certain generation the people of the world will allow us to live in Eretz Yisrael? We don't have to fight a battle to conquer Eretz Yisrael. And what if we have to conquer Eretz Yisrael by force? What do we do with the Shmuel? If you know the history of it, the Satmar Rebbe, the previous Satmar Rebbe used to quote this Gemara in the Megillas Esther. Not the Megillas Esther Purim. The Megillas Esther commentary on the Rapha, Sefer HaMitzvahs, to prove that today, in our day, you know, there's no mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael because the shvuah that we took a shvuah. So there are many, many answers to this question. My favorite answer to defend the Ramban, his critique of the Rambam for omitting this mitzvah, is that every shvuah requires two parties. If you enter into a covenant relationship, you have to live up to your side of the bargain, and then you can demand of me that I live up to my side of the bargain. The nations of the world took a shvuah that they would not persecute the Jewish people. Once having done so, and they violated their side of the deal, then the shvua is no longer binding. And we're not committed to our side of the deal. But Meir Simcha Mitvinsk, one of the great Oivei Eretz Yisrael, at the time of the Avnei Nezer, he says that once the Balfour Declaration was signed, then the Umos HaOlam, as a unified group, whatever that means, agreed to invite the Jewish nation to come back and settle in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore lifts the Shvuah. Because the Shvuah only gives the nations of the world a right to block us if they so choose. But if they don't choose so, and they decide to invite us into Eretz Yisrael, then we're allowed to come back, and the shvu is no longer bond. Okay, we'll take a break. If anybody wants to join me a little bit after Myriv, that's okay too. Alright, any quick questions? Let's continue. And if you take a look on page 2 of Yamar Makomos, we'll see that many of the halachos appear in Shulchan Aruch, and they are based on the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael. One example, as we touched on before, is the halacha that says that within the context of marriage, one spouse can force the other to live in Eretz Yisrael. This is brought down at Ebenezer, Siman Ayin Hay. And the odd thing about it is that when we come to understand the Rambam Sheet and to analyze it, and the Rambam omits the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael from the Minyan Taryag, we're faced with the following difficulty. This sugya in Ksubas about Hakol Mailin LeEretz Yisrael, Hu Omer Lalos, Vi Omer Shelo Lalos, Kofenos Olalos, etc., etc., that sugya is indeed codified by the Rambam in the Mishneh Torah, in Perek Yud Gimel Hilchos Ishus. He himself brings it down. Now, the fact that one spouse could demand of the other that they settle in Eretz Yisrael, that must be predicated on the assumption that there's an obligation, there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So if there's no mitzvah, then it makes no sense. And Reb Chaim Cohen, as quoted in Tosfos, is living in a similar generation to the Rambam, and yet the Rambam requires the, you know, this halacha, implements this halacha, and one could force the other. Now, amongst the various approaches to the Shitas HaRambam, there's a Steichemet, who claims that according to the Rambam, the mitzvah is the Rabbanon. No, there's the Pasuk itself that generates a Chiyuv Kibush, that the land of Israel has to be conquered, v'yirishtam v'yishavtim, but that's Yoshua. That's limited in time. In that sense, on a Doraisal level, the Steichemet is willing to embrace the approach of the Megillas Esther in the Rambam. But on a Darabonon level, is a Chiyuv Darabonon to live in Eretz Yisrael, and that applies even in our time. Therefore, the Steichemet can justify the fact that the Rambam, even though he omits the mitzvah in Taryag, holding that it's a limited mitzvah, limited in time, and it's not a mitzvah l'doros, can nevertheless codify the halacha of kofin osolalos, because there is indeed a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael based on the Takanas Chachamim. A number of questions arise in our minds. Number one, is there a difference between a mitzvah d'orais and a mitzvah d'rabbanon halacha l'maisa? Are there any differences, any nafkaminas? Number two, we have to know why the Rabbanon instituted this mitzvah. Would we, for example, be less pressured to fulfill this mitzvah, given the fact that it's only the Rabbanon, in situations where there's certain difficulties and challenges in settling in Eretz Yisrael? But the other approach to the Rambam is the Avnei Nezer's approach. And this is the approach that I'd like to study with you tonight. But take a look at the Avnei Nezer first, and you'll find his tshuva on page 4. And he writes the following. He says, "Guf hadavar shavar she mashalomana rami shiv zed somi shum deyin oheges v'zman hazeh v'lavi mitzvah oheges l'doros." Regarding the Megillas Esther's claim that the Rambam omitted the mitzvah in Taryag because it's not a mitzvah l'doros but rather a mitzvah l'shah, says the Avnei Nezer, a very strong language, "Eino klum." That's nothing. There's a whole slew of mitzvahs that could no longer apply in our time. And the Avnei Nezer goes on to emphasize that karbonos, for example, which depend upon Mikdash and no longer are obligatory in our time, make up a large chunk of the Rambam's Tayag Mitzvahs. Now, before we see and analyze the Avnei-Nezer's approach to the Rambam Shita, I would like to talk to you about a different dimension, and that is the exceptions to the rule of Mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Under what circumstances does a person have a patur that alleviates him from this obligation to settle in Eretz Yisrael? And there are a number of sugyas throughout Shas that address this question, and you'll find this in Avodah Zarah, in Masechta Avodah Zarah. You'll find it elsewhere, that in cases of extreme financial difficulty, for example, let's say there's a famine in the land, then the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is no longer binding at that particular period of time. And in addition to that, we'll find that you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael for the sake of marriage. Now, in addition to the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, which is on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, that for the sake of marriage, and also for the sake, by the way, of Talmud Torah, if you can't find a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael, but only in Chutz Lartz, you're allowed to leave. You'll see this sugya also in Baba Basra, on Daf Tzadi Aleph. So the underlying principle here, which has to be analyzed in all these cases, whether it's famine and poverty, whether it's the need to get married, whether it's the need to study Torah, would seem the emphasis here is not the mitzvah that overwhelms or trumps the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. That's not what we're talking about. But rather, what we're talking about is living in Eretz Yisrael under very, very difficult conditions, unbearable conditions. And it would seem now that the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, even according to the Ramban, is different, is unique, and not, it doesn't play by the same rules as other mitzvahs are concerned. Meaning, with regard to other mitzvahs, we don't find sugyas about non-fulfillment of the mitzvah for the sake of other mitzvahs, or for the sake of Talmud Torah, for the sake of, you know, or parnasa, and things like that. You don't really find that. There must be something unique in Eretz Yisrael that reflects these new rules and regulations. And here I'd like to raise a question. We speak of mitzvahs in terms of the Maisa mitzvah, the Kiyuma mitzvah. These are typical classical brisket terminologies. But there may be something else in a mitzvah which could have halachic implications. And what I'm going to tell you now is a bit iffy and has to be really defined and polished up precisely. Something called the Chefta Shel Mitzvah. What I mean by the Chefta Shel Mitzvah is not the object with which you fulfill the mitzvah. That's not what I'm referring to. But rather, the essence of the mitzvah, the entity that's created by the mitzvah. You have to create a new entity. It's almost as if, let's say, one would say that the mitzvah of prayer is not just to do the Maisa Tefillah, but to create an entity of prayer. You know, some sort of relationship in which you are Omed Lifnei Hashchina. That's what I call the entity. Or, for example, in the case of a karban, it's not so much the maisa and the kiyum karban with all the dalat avodos and the zrikas hadam in the middle, at the center of it, but it's the cheft of the karban, meaning this relationship of liskare v'lashem. So there may be a limited, circumscribed group of mitzvahs that have what I call a cheft shel mitzvah, meaning they have a definite entity or a reality that has to be created. The goal, the purpose of the mitzvah is to create that entity, that ambiance, that experience, if you will. We're talking now about the experiential goal of a mitzvah, which goes beyond the physical presence or implementation of the act of a mitzvah in a physical sense. We're talking more about creating a certain state of being, which is an emotional or intellectual one, and that's the goal of the mitzvah. And obviously all mitzvahs have, in addition to their particular mitzvah, have a goal of vidavka bo, to create dveikus. But sometimes the dveikus of the mitzvah is really defined its very essence. Meaning the purpose of the mitzvah is not the mechanical act, but to generate a certain close, intimate relationship with the Shekhinah. And perhaps we could suggest that the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is not defined, its definition is not exhausted by the physical element of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, being and dwelling in the land, but there's some sort of goal, what I call the Chefetz Shel Mitzvah, or the Mataras HaMitzvah, which defines the mitzvah itself. And this perhaps would put the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael in such a unique light that we could explain and justify why the Gemara offers these various categories of ptur that we don't find in other mitzvahs. I just wanted to share with you, there's a tshuva I once saw from Rav Shol Yisraeli, and I think I've mentioned this in the past, about Kibud Av V'Em versus Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Shol Yisraeli was Rosh Yeshiva Merkaz Harav, which is considered the most Zionistic yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. So his credentials as far as love for Eretz Yisrael are beyond question. And yet he, in this long tshuva, suggested that under certain specific conditions, it might be not only a ptur of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael to go and take care of an elderly parent who really needs you and is dependent upon you, and you're living in a state of you're living in Eretz Yisrael, your parents are in Chutzlitz, you're living in a state of almost depression because of the guilt feelings that overwhelm you, and the fact that you're not there to serve them and help them and aid them at a time that's so absolutely critical in their lives. And Rav Shol Yisraeli says, not only are you potter for the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, he believes that if you would live in Eretz Yisrael in that state of guilt, you know, we're talking about a very heavy emotional guilt, 24/7 kind of thing, you carry it around with you all the time. He says you don't even have the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It's not even a voluntary kiyum that you have, you could obtain in that state of being. The mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael requires simcha. He quotes Pesukim in Tanakh, maybe we'll get a chance to study them, that Eretz Yisrael requires a state of simcha. And I heard from my Rebbe, the Rav's upon the Vrach, that simcha always means lifnei Hashem. So the purpose of Eretz Yisrael is to be close to Hashem, to be in that area, to live in that climate of proximity to the Shechina. The Pasuk says about Eretz Yisrael, Eidi Hashem Elokecha Boah, and the Gemara in Tainis on Daf Yudim and Beis emphasizes the special Ashgach, the divine providence bestowed directly by God on the inhabitants of the land of Israel. Rain is apportioned in Eretz Yisrael directly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. With regard to other umos and other lands and countries on the face of the earth, there is a malach. Hashem delegates a sort of intermediary through which his Ashkocha reaches the people of that land. But with regard to Eretz Yisrael, there's no intermediary. There's an all-around, overwhelming, intimate relationship between Hashem and his Ashkocha and his people living in the land. So that outside the land of Eretz Yisrael, Parnasa is through an angel. But Eretz Yisrael is the Armon of the Melech. It's the king's palace. It's a unique personal connection to Hashem. So although we say Melech al Haaretz Kvodo, Hashem is not limited to one particular place, but we're not talking about physical presence here. We're talking about a close personal relationship. And that close personal relationship can be achieved only in Eretz Yisrael. One of the issues that bothered the mind of the Avnei Nezer as a Chassidish Rebbe is why is it that Chassidish Rebbes classically did not come to Eretz Yisrael? They did not make Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. And he takes this question very seriously, very much to heart. And in one of his tshuvas, he presents a thesis that's absolutely stunning and almost revolutionary. He says that the Chassidish Rebbes realized that for them to live in Eretz Yisrael, I'm just finishing it up, another 5 minutes, they would have to be dependent for their livelihood on Chassidim in Chutzlitz, meaning they wouldn't be able to find at that particular juncture in history a source of livelihood in Eretz Yisrael. And he claims the following. This is the Avnei Nezer's radical breakthrough. He says that to live in Eretz Yisrael means to get your parnasa straight directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through no intermediary. And the Chassidish Rebbes felt that if they would have to be dependent on the goodwill and the kind heart of others in order to get their parnasa, they would be dependent on human efforts rather than on the direct hand and providence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the entire purpose of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael would be lost. It's a fascinating concept, because what it means is that we're going to look at the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and we're going to try to define the purpose of the mitzvah. So, for example, Rav Chaim Volozhin speaks about Talmud Torah. The purpose of Talmud Torah is to be Dovek Bashem, by understanding his Seichel and his Chachma, God's Chachma, which is embodied in the Torah. But we usually don't tend to ask the question, it's a very, almost a chutzpahdika question, to ask what's the purpose and the goal of a mitzvah. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can know the answer to that question. But the Avnei Nezer suggests that with regard to Eretz Yisrael, we can understand through the Torah and its wisdom what the purpose of Eretz Yisrael is. And that is to thrust ourselves into the divine Shekhinah and the Hashgach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Eretz Yisrael is the only land on the face of the earth where HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the land and controls the land in a direct way. The Ramban, in many places in the Torah, in his Pirush al Torah, presents this thesis that every other land is controlled by some malach who's delegated by Hashem as sort of an intermediary, but not so Eretz Yisrael. So the goal of Eretz Yisrael is to have that intimate relationship by being dependent upon the good graces of Hashem, Dashgacha Pratis, as it flows directly to the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael.
You know, the Rebbe should have fought there.
But because they knew that's what the Avnei Nezer wants to suggest. I mean, Yaakov's saying, let's look at it in a different perspective. But just to first let's exhaust the Avnei Nezer's perspective. He says that they knew that on a Parnassal level, they would have to be dependent upon the good graces of those who would support them. And the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, I think we mentioned it, that if a person is living in very extreme conditions financially, then he's allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. Now, we don't find that kind of language in Shas regarding other mitzvahs. Why is it that in Eretz Yisrael there seems to be an emphasis on the fact that I can live comfortably, I can live like a mensch? It doesn't mean I have to live on the highest standard of living. You know, some people say, well, if I can't make millions, you know, I'll stay in chutzlars. I don't think that's the issue. But on the other hand, if you're living under financially unbearable conditions, then no doubt that the halacha applies. If there's an extreme famine in the land, you're allowed to leave. Avraham Avinu, in fact, left Eretz Canaan at the time by Hira of Ba'aretz. So why do we find, and the Gemara says you're allowed to leave to find a marriage partner. You're allowed to leave to find a Rebbe if you can't find a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, these kind of statements of Chazal we don't find with regard to other mitzvahs. But Eretz Yisrael is a unique mitzvah because the goal of living in Eretz Yisrael is to live b'simcha, to live with a state of happiness. Simcha means I feel close to Hashem. I remember when I came first to Chutz Laretz, after being in Eretz Yisrael for a long period of time, I felt that I couldn't daven. Some of the davening in Chutz Laretz was not the same. Because in Eretz Yisrael, you feel a closeness to the Shekhinah, because of the Eini Hashem Elokech Habah. And that intimate relationship, which is created by living in Eretz Yisrael, is something that we have to strive for. And if it's impossible, so under what circumstances would you say that living in Eretz Yisrael would be impossible, would be unbearable? We mentioned the finances. What else? Any other possibilities that come to your mind?
Drought.
A drought?
Yeah,
maybe if you can't find friends. Maybe if the security situation is so awful, you know, it's so severe. But you'd always in each case have to, you know, be honest and try to gauge it by the standards of halacha and see if it's really truly unbearable. So let's just summarize and recap what we've said. The Megillus Esther understands that the Rambam left out the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael because it's only a mitzvah L'shah, it's not a mitzvah L'doros. The problem is that the Rambam counts many mitzvahs in his Taryag which don't apply in Golos. For example, what mitzvahs does the Rambam count? Karbonos. Karbonos make up a whole chunk of it. According to Megillus Esther, why is Eretz Yisrael any different than Karbonos? I mean, it's true that maybe during certain periods of time it became very difficult for the Jewish people to live in Eretz Yisrael. And Golos makes it, you know, is antithetical to the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, but why is it different than Karbonos? So I just want to share with you, you have a tshuva, a very interesting tshuva.
Karbonos has that...
Come a little closer, Simcha, if you don't mind.
Amiros and Zuhi Privosim, right? You're saying them, so you have another option.
Oh, the Shalom and Parmesan was saying them.
Yeah. But by Eretz Yisrael, we have no other option, so that...
But what about Trumas and Maestros, for example? There's so many mitzvahs that
are... You take Trumas now. Right.
Good, so the mitzvah of Truman is only to Rabbanon Bisman, as that we don't have Rov Yoshvel Leho. We have Shemit and Yovel. There are many mitzvahs that don't apply in Golus, yet the Rambam counts them in Taryah. The fact that during a period of Golus we can't fulfill the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, that doesn't mean therefore that should be omitted from the counting. So let me ask you a different question. The mitzvah of this week's parasha, next week's parasha, is the mitzvah of building the Aron. Asiyas Ha'aron. Does the Rambam count that in the Taryag? No, he leaves it out. So the Avnei Nezer has a very interesting thesis as to why the Rambam leaves out the mitzvah of building the Aron from the Minyan Taryag. He says the Rambam counts the mitzvah of building the Mishkan in Taryag. The purpose of the mitzvah of building the Mishkan is to build the Aron, because the Aron is the place where the Kruvim and where the Shekhinah was Shor Rebbein HaKruvim. Says the Avnei Nezer, interesting sheet in the Rambam, he says that the Rambam, when he has Mitzvah A and Mitzvah B, and the goal of Mitzvah A is to achieve Mitzvah B, will only count Mitzvah A in the Taryag and not Mitzvah B. So for example, there's a mitzvah to destroy the seven nations. Does anybody know what that mitzvah is called? Hachrem Tachrem. We have a mitzvah to wipe out the seven nations. Does the Rambam count that mitzvah in Taryag? He does. Why does he leave out the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? Because when you have two mitzvahs, and the first mitzvah is a goal-oriented mitzvah to fulfill the second mitzvah, then even though the second mitzvah is the most important mitzvah, the Rambam counts the first mitzvah, not the second. So the Rambam counts the mitzvah of building the Mishkan. He leaves out the counting of building the Aron, because the purpose of the Mishkan is to set up the Aron. So too, says the Avnei Nezer, the Rambam counts the mitzvah to wipe out the seven nations and not the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, because the mitzvah of destroying the seven nations is to empty out Eretz Yisrael of those inhabitants in order that the Jewish people should be able to settle in Eretz Yisrael.
But isn't it backwards? Shouldn't it say Yishuv Eretz and not?
No, so according to the Avnei Nezer, his analysis of the Rambam, if mitzvah A comes first, but its goal is to achieve mitzvah B. So let's say, for example, there's a mitzvah of paraduma, right? And ultimately, you have a mitzvah of being metaher the tameh. So there's a whole procedure in order to create the mechatas, you know, from the paraduma. Which mitzvah is the Rambam going to count?
The first one,
the mitzvah of paraduma. He's not going to count the mitzvah of being entire the tummy, even though we're commanded to do so. So whenever you have two mitzvahs, and the first one is commanded, is imperative in order to get to the second mitzvah, the rabbis can count the first mitzvah, not the second mitzvah. So we destroy the seven nations in order to allow, to facilitate the living, the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael. So the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is not counted.
Then he shouldn't count any mitzvahs closed arts.
The mitzvahs hatluyas ba'aretz, on the other hand, are mitzvahs that apply within Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, I've destroyed the seven nations, I've conquered the land, I've settled it. Now, what mitzvahs am I obligated to fulfill in Eretz Yisrael? There, the law of Eretz Yisrael is only the bounds, the location of the mitzvah. But here, in the case of destroying the seven nations, the goal of the mitzvah is to allow, to facilitate the domicile of the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael.
I always said that the goal of Eretz Yisrael was just to
destroy the mitzvahs. That's Reb Chaim Cohen. The Ramban disagrees vehemently. He says that the goal of Eretz Yisrael is simply to live in Eretz Yisrael, and that itself is a mitzvah. So even if you wouldn't be able to fulfill a single mitzvah, the mitzvah tlis baretz, you would still be required to live in Eretz Yisrael. It would still be obligatory. In fact, I think according to the Ramban, there might even be a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael on a temporary basis. That's a fascinating question. Let's say I settle in Eretz Yisrael for 1 year. I take a year's leave of absence and I get a job in, you know, sabbatical, and I live in Eretz Yisrael for 1 year with the intention of coming back to Chutzlot. Would I fulfill the mitzvah? It could be according to the Ramban. If it's a mitzvah, say Lidoros. If that's called Dira, you know, Dira Shiny, then you have the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael.
It's ongoing, no?
It's a chafetz perpetual.
Oh, if it's a chafetz. Now here we have to come back to the last question I left you with before we broke for Meiriv, and that is, who's obligated in the chafetz of Eretz Yisrael? You know, it's as far as the Gavra is concerned, every individual, it's incumbent upon every individual to settle in Eretz Yisrael. But when the Ramban says that every parcel of land in Eretz Yisrael has to be settled, postulating a chovas chefta merit. So who's obligated in that? And here we have to introduce another briska chakir. Did you hear today's shiur from the Rosh Yeshiva of Or Chaim about the two dimensions of the mitzvah tzedakah? He quoted Rav Chaim Brisker. One was what? Tzedakah incumbent upon the yachid, and the other is tzedakah incumbent upon the tzibur. That's a famous briska chakira about a chovas yachid and a chovas tzibur. Well, what would you say about the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? Is it a chovas yachid or is it a chovas tzibur? Well, in the case of kibush Eretz Yisrael, I have no doubt that the mitzvah of kibush is not incumbent upon Reuven, Shimon, or Levi, you or me. It's incumbent upon the tzibur. What about the mitzvah of yeshavtem bo? So the other Ramban says that every individual is chayv in the mitzvah. Take a look at the Ramban's language. Mischayev kol yachid mimenu afilu bizman agolos. It's interesting. The Ramban was very sensitive to this. But would there be a chovas tzibur in the midst of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? And I believe, that's my chiddush, the answer is yes. There are two dimensions to the midst of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. There's the chovas yachid and the chovas tzibur. How does the chovas tzibur express itself? In the chovas chefta, the chovas karka, that Eretz Yisrael has to be settled. So every individual fulfilled his mitzvah and he settled in the north. But the south was not settled, then the chovas tzibur has not been fulfilled. The chovas tzibur is an obligation vis-a-vis the land of Eretz Yisrael, every single parcel of land in Eretz Yisrael, that it should be settled. Okay, Rav Osai, I want to thank everyone for coming. I don't want to keep you too late. There's so much to talk about. As I say, the Ramban himself, I think, embodies in his very essence, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, this Ramban in two places where he says that all the mitzvahs and chutzlarts are just preparations, they're just a chiruch in order to prepare. He has a sifri, a selichot tziyunim, in order to prepare us for Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban says that the reason why Yaakov Avinu was married to two sisters is because he was in chutzlarts. By the time he got to Eretz Yisrael, Rachel had died on the border, so that he shouldn't be married to two sisters. There are unbelievable statements in the Ramban about the Hashgacha Pratis in Eretz Yisrael. Direct link to the people of Israel from God himself in Eretz Yisrael. All this is so essential to the Ramban's nefesh that he felt he had to settle in Eretz Yisrael. He couldn't live in Chutzpah. He had a craving, a yearning for Eretz Yisrael. His neshama needed it. And he is the paradigm, I believe, of Eretz Yisrael. Okay then, Shkaya, thank you so much.